Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you back, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in today. I know you're doing that on purpose, and God knows you're doing it on purpose, and our Heavenly Father will honor you for that. And God honors His Word, the Bible says. He'll give His honor to no one else. He'll give His glory to no one else. And the Bible says that God, those that honor the Lord, He will honor in return. He said that. Today we're going to go into another study, the letter Y, and it's going to concern yearning. And what we mean by yearning, well, we'll get into that in just a minute, but I hope that you're doing well. And if you're not, you're at the right place. God's Word is what cleans us, brothers and sisters, and listening to God's Word is one of the hardest things, and getting around God's Word, the enemy wants to keep you from getting around God's Word so he can make you suffer, and suffer for the wrong reasons, and just make you suffer because he knows that God's Word is what cleans us, and what helps us, and what comforts us, and God the Holy Ghost is our comforter also. But he comforts us through the Word. So whatever's going on with you today, and you having some troubles, and you seeking answers from the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now you got to trust in that. When we got God's Word, we're not just talking about some flippant words written in a book. We're talking about the book, God's words. Jesus Christ is the Word and became flesh and dwelt among us. And when he left us himself in the book, the Word of God. And we have it to be comforted, and we just have to trust. We don't. When you trust, you don't have the answers. You don't know. You don't know what's going on. But the Lord has never let me down, and he'll never, ever let you down. You're at the right place. Let's get our minds and our hearts in the Word of God and study and see what the truth is and see what God's Word says. And every time you get around God's Word, God is able to speak to you, and he's able to give you answers or lead you and or comfort you, and you're in the right place. God bless you for that. But don't be discouraged. You hang in there, and don't you quit. Don't you ever quit. Ever quit. Today we're going to talk about yearning. Yearning, and that might have to do with some of y'all's prayers and some things that might be troubling you, some things that you need answers for concerning yearning. You say, well, Brother TV, what do you mean when you're talking about yearning? Well, yearning's only mentioned in the scriptures. You know, when it comes to the letter Y in the ABCs of Christian growth, I was sitting there wondering, what in the world could be an ABC lesson that we could do to learn some truth from God's Word concerning why. And I couldn't come up with nothing. But then I seen one word in there that's mentioned only twice in the entire Bible. One word, yearning. Yearn is mentioned one time in the Scriptures, and yearning is mentioned one time in the Scriptures. But it is in there. Now, when it comes to why in the Bible, it's hard to find a topic to discuss and study. However, there is one topic that's only mentioned in your Bible twice, and that's the word yearn. And it's mentioned in Genesis chapter 43 and verse 30, and it says, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there." You remember that? Whenever his brother Benjamin came on that second trip down to Egypt, whenever he was second in charge in Egypt during that time, and his brother came, he just couldn't hold his feelings in. It said that for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and it said that they yearned so much that he sought some place to weep. He had to go away because he was fixing to break down and cry because he's seen his brothers and also seen his little brother. The other place is found in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 26. The Bible says, "Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Of course, we know what that is. That's a tragic court date that the Lord, Solomon, the two women arguing over whose child was what, because they had made a deal that we'll boil my child and eat it. No, that wasn't that one. That was where she rolled over and killed her child when it was sleeping, and both of them had infants. She rolled over and killed hers, and in the night she traded them out. And they went to court on it and got before Solomon, and both of them were saying it was theirs, and Solomon said, okay, well, here's the verdict. Bring me a sword. I'm going to divide it and give it to either one, to give it both of you half of it. And the real mother, the Bible says, then spake the woman who the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. Her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. And of course, we're glad she didn't get it. That's kind of like the women today, some of the women today, isn't it? Yeah, just divide it. Throw it in a garbage can. Put it in a sack. Throw it in a river. And stuff like that. But nevertheless, yearn. So what are we talking about when we're talking about yearn? Well, we're talking about affections. Affections. And that's found all over the scriptures. And the Lord has taught us, the Lord Jesus Christ, in some of his lessons, individually taught on the subject of affections. And gave us a doctrine on affections and what our affections should be and what they shouldn't be. So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's found in the word why, yearning. But when we say yearning, we're talking about affections. Because you see, Joseph, it was his affections that he was yearning for his brother. And the woman whose child was fixing to get slain, it said that that her bowels yearned upon her son. It was really her son, and she would rather have seen it go to the other woman versus being slain. And her bowels yearned, her affections were affected toward that child. So we see there that that these scriptures that we just got through reading, the references show us a deep, innermost yearning or affection. It's something that's deep within. It's very meaningful in a person. The bowels would lead us to know that it was in the center of the people's beings, in the heart. In the heart. The bowels of the earth, meaning in the center of the earth. In the center of her affections, she yearned. In the center of her heart. And we'll see that as we move on. But we're just trying to get an outline of what we're talking about and what kind of truth that we're seeking to find out what God's Word says. And some of y'all might be already interested in this and what God's Word says about yearning and about affections, because we're all affected by affections, and we all yearn. We all have deep things in our heart that we long for. Matter of fact, the word yearning is defined as to long for, to desire greatly and incessantly, without interruption. To be filled with compassion, to desire strongly and persistently. To have a desire for something or someone to feel tenderness for. To ache. Southerners say to hanker. languish, to long for, to pant, to pine. And up north, I think they say yen for it. Or the last one there says, have an affection for. To have an affection for something is yearning. Now, what does affection mean? Well, it's defined as a feeling of fondness, tenderness, warm-heartedness, emotion, as in feeling or cognitive, like thinking or learning or reasoning, impact upon the heart. The heart. So we're going to be getting real close to the heart when we talk about this. And the Lord gave us scripture concerning the heart and told us to watch out, and what to do and what not to do. But when it comes to affections can go one way or the other. We noticed that we talked about when we was defining them as far as tenderness and warm-heartedness and the heart. But the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when we're talking about affections and talking about yearning, affections can go two different ways. They can be affected. Yearning can be affected two different ways. You can yearn for things that are not good also. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the Lord said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's in your treasure chest? The treasure of your heart. Way down deep in there where you got it locked up where nobody else knows about it except you and the Lord. In your treasure chest, that's where your heart is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your heart's there, your affections are there. Your yearning is there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We all have affections. We understand that affections and yearning are in the same category or in the same truth that we're talking about. They could be individualized, but as far as in this lesson, we're talking about basically the same thing. As Joseph yearned after his brother, and as the mother yearned after her child, it was deep in the heart. It was in the treasure. It was in the treasure, in the heart. And some of you have some things in your heart that are treasures that are either that could be troubling you right now, that could be you looking for answers for, just all sorts of things. Well, that's why we're going to study this, so you can get them answers, so you can seek the Lord's will, so you can find out what the Lord's mind is concerning these sort of things. Now, when the Lord in His Word speaks of the heart, now, warning, everything stems from the heart. Everything stems from the heart. The Lord said for us to keep it with all diligence. Don't let it slip and get away from you. Keeping your heart is sort of like when you go out to walk your dog. Nowadays, people got them on leashes all the time, and you can see some of them that got too big a dog for their own good, and that dog's dragging them all over the road, and they got that leash just as tight as it can get, and that dog just steadily pulling on them. And the dog wants to go left, and they have to pull him back. Dog wants to go right, they have to pull him back. And the dog's passed by, he wants to go over there with him, have to pull him back and keep the reins on him all the time. They have to hold that dog with all diligence. They can't let it slip because he's going to get away. And he might go the wrong place or go with the wrong crowd or something like that happen. That's sort of like what the Lord's talking about when it comes to this heart matter. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Hold on to that heart with that leash and keep it on a leash. For out of it are the issues of life. And why should we hold on it? Because the Bible says it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You got to keep it in check. you can't trust it. Like you see all them young girls when they have their first love and the boy dumps them, and they just out there just deepest part of their heart. That's probably one of the saddest things I see, is a young girl having her first love and that boy, somebody dumps her and she just crying. You see those tears of sadness and that she's just been dumped and lost, and there the whole world's lost, you know, and you just want to cry for her. But that's the heart. That's the heart. So when the Lord in His Word speaks of the heart, He's speaking of something that's of great importance and should be attended to with a degree of seriousness. We see there are heart ties to our affections, the Bible says, and our affections with the emotions, our feelings, our thinking, our learning, our reasoning, and they all tie into our yearning with its longing, great and strong desires. No wonder it's called the heart. There's a whole lot of things and avenues that your heart, that your life can go down because of that heart, isn't it? Your heart's led you in some directions before that were good, and your heart's led you in some directions before that you should have checked up on first, huh? But that's why we have God's Word. God's Word never fails to tell us the truth about things. And if we study this and we find out what the Lord says about affections and what He says about yearnings and what He says about the heart, then we can apply that truth to our walk with Him and be serious about it and apply it to our lives and walk by it, and we'll be better for it. We'll be better for it. We'll be pleased doing the things that are pleasing before the Lord and able to get His blessings when it has to do with our heart and our affections. Some of us are more prone to for our heart to chase after things right away, and some of us are not. Some of us are thick-skinned, some of us are thin-skinned, and some of us can our affections are touchy and go. Some of them are real touchy. Some of them, it takes a sledgehammer to get through to your affections, you know. But nevertheless, affections. We're to be very careful about what's in our treasure and what we allow to be in our treasure. Be careful what you allow to be in your heart, or allow what we allow our heart to become affectionate towards. Be careful what we hanker for, or yearn for, or long for. We're to be careful about those things. That's what that television is to program you. But it does have to do with our affections after a while, because it starts taking us over and it starts giving us some negative affections, some affections that degrade us. And that's another thing we're going to talk about in this. We're going to talk about good affections and evil affections. Both of them are in the Word of God and spoken of, and both of them are truths. In Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." Remember, we was talking about the leash? The Lord says, the reins. "I try the reins to see where your heart really is, even to give every man according to his ways." So you see, our affections have to have effect on our ways. "To give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Of his doings. Now look at what the Lord said about the heart. He says that this thing called the heart, that longs for, greatly desires, has yearnings, has affection, and involves our feelings and thinkings, is deceitful above all things. And it's desperately wicked and affects our control, our reins, and our ways, and our doings.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to end? It must be the truth. The Lord said these things. So now we know that our heart is the innermost us, the real you. That it can be both good and evil. Affections, yearning. Have you ever heard somebody cry? I mean, really, really cry? Like, for instance, mourning a lost loved one or something like that, and somebody just really cries to the point to where the innermost treasure in their chest, that in their treasure chest, in their heart, can be listened to. Have you ever heard that? There is something to that. No, I mean really cry. Cry from their heart. Sure you have. You've heard it. Can you tell that there's a difference and it's coming from their heart? Sure you can. What does that kind of weeping tell us? That whatever it is that's making them cry, they were affectionate towards, right? Have you ever heard someone curse? No, I mean really curse. Curse from their heart. Sure you have. Well, I hope that you haven't, but most of us probably have in this day and age. And they curse from their heart. Those are the affections coming out of that heart. The Lord said, keep thy heart. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Lord said, for out of the heart proceedeth some of its cursing. Murders, envies, wickedness, drunkenness, out of the heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now, we just got through learning that the things that come out of our heart and our treasure, deep down in our treasure, for where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. And then the Lord tells us that the things that proceed out of our mouth come from the heart. So you see, this affection thing is a pretty big truth from the Word of God. It matters. It affects us in our walk as Christians. And it's something that we need to have under control. And some of our affections, and me included, sometimes our affections just get so wound up and so confusing that, and the enemy's busy about destroying them also. And confusing us, we just get to where we can't even think. That's why it's good to know what God says and believe Him. That way we can fall back on God's Word because we trust Him and we trust His Word. You say, well, why this and why that? Because God said so. That's why we learn what the Bible says, not what we think it says or want it to say. We learn what God's Word says. You see, so we can see now by now that our yearnings or our affections do matter and are very important. Let's look at some truths and what the Word of God says about it. Now, the first category we want to talk about and look into the Scriptures are what are some of the kinds of yearnings or affections taught in the Bible? Well, there are many different kinds of yearnings and many different kinds of affections that the Bible talks about. And we're going to read some scripture and we're going to see these different sorts of affections and yearnings. And maybe you can identify with many of them. I'm sure we can. Just take our time and read the scriptures and see what we're talking about. Now, to begin with, the first kind of affection that we're going to look at is called natural affection. Natural affections. And we can find some truth about it and something to teach us concerning natural affections in Romans chapter 1 in verse 25 through 32. Let me read that to you. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creator more, or the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So you see, God says that we have natural affections, things that are natural, and it's possible for them to be changed into vile affections. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now we notice that the scripture is talking about some pretty bad stuff here that's in the heart of people that have affections that are vile. And they are not natural. So the first kind of affection that the Bible teaches us that is natural affection. All of us have been instilled and created and been given natural affections, things that should naturally affect us or affect us in a natural way, not an unnatural way. The next thing that the Bible teaches us, as far as yearnings or affections or the kinds of affections, is found in Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 24, and that is paternal affections. Paternal affections. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" Now we know who this is. It's a prodigal son that went off and blew all his money up on hookers and partying, I guess you'd call it, and all that kind of stuff. And he came to himself working in a pig pen, eating pig food alongside the hogs. And he mentioned this right here, and he said, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry." Now we know, of course, this is paternal affection. The father could have cussed him out and could have said, you deserve it and get out of here. You took everything I gave you and went out and blew it and you embarrassed us and disgraced us. And he could have said all them things. But the paternal affection in him wouldn't let him do that because he loved his son and he had compassion on him because he repented and turned and changed and came to himself. Paternal affection, the Bible teaches there is. Natural affection, paternal affection. That's not all. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16 through 27 that there is something called maternal affection, or something that is maternal affection. Let's read it. It said, then came there two women, and were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and no wise slay it. She's the mother thereof. So you see, the Bible teaches not only is there natural affection or paternal affection, but there is maternal affection, not infection, but affection. A maternal affection, yearning, loving your child. And that's not all. There's all kinds of affection in the scriptures that we see. We've seen these three. The Bible also teaches us another one. There's something called, or something given us as an example of fraternal affection. We find that in Genesis, Genesis chapter 43, verse 29 through 34. Listen to this. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother, and whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. This is Joseph talking to his brother Benjamin, and they didn't know who he was. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into the chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves. Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto an Egyptian. And they sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin, that's his little brother, Benjamin's mess was five times as much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. So we see that Joseph had affections toward his little brother. He hadn't seen him in a while, and he was glad that he was alive and that all his brothers were alive, but especially Benjamin. Fraternal affection. Not only natural, but paternal affection, maternal affection, fraternal affection. That's not all the Bible shows us. It shows us that there is filial affection. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 49, let's read some of that. Genesis chapter 49, verse 29 through 33. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. We see he left some instructions there before he died. And his instructions had to do with his treasure chest, what was in his heart. What was in his heart was where he wanted to be buried, one place he wanted to be buried. And what was that? That was with his wife. And that was with his daddy and his mama and his grandpa and his granddaddy. It said they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife, and they buried Isaac and Rebekah and his wife. And there I buried Leah. That was his first wife. And he told them where the field was and who was buried there and what was in his heart. Filial love. He wanted to be buried with them. A family. There's another kind of affection also. Now, this was mostly family affection, isn't it? Natural affection, paternal affection, the father, maternal affection, the mother, fraternal, having to do with brothers, and filial, having to do with people that you love, family. And that's not all. You say, Brother TV, the Bible speaks a lot about affections. Yes, it does. A lot about affection, a lot about yearning. The man was fixing to die. And in his heart, in the deepest part of his heart, in his treasure chest, he made sure that people understood that he wanted to be buried with his wife and his family. And that's not all. We get away from the family now. What's the Bible talk about when it comes to affections? It talks about national affections. National affections. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 137 and verse 1 through 6, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yeah, we wept. When we remembered Zion, and you know what Zion is, that's Bethlehem. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. National affections. There's people that that have the place that they grew up, the place that they're from, their nation, their people, as affections. Now, it's hard to do that in America. America used to be to where you say, I'm American, and you had an affection in your heart. But now, America has become something completely different. And you see people flying flags and saying, I'm American, and the USA, and stuff like that. But it doesn't mean what it used to anymore. And there are still people that are probably proud and affectionate for their nation and where they're from. But this nation has become one big goo, stew of goo. Everybody mixed and all of them brought together, and nobody's got any people to be proud of at all or to be affiliated or affectionate with at all anymore. Some people are from Italy, and they claim that people. They claim that nation, and that's my nation. Or some are Irish. Some are a nation, national affection. The Bible talks about that. And one of the biggest ones in the Scripture that the Scripture talks about all the time, and even the Lord talks about it, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself talks about, that he's coming back and he's going to rule and reign the entire planet from there. From Jerusalem, from Zion. And the Jews were one of the people in the Scriptures that were very nationalistic as far as affection. As far as affection. So there's national affection in the Scriptures. The Scriptures teach us that that is so. There's another one. In Romans chapter 9. And let's see here. In Romans chapter 9, yes. In Romans chapter 9, there's something that's called racial, or something that's shown to us, racial affection. Racial affection. Listen to the Scripture. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 4. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. You know who this is. It's Brother Paul. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, his race, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises. Well, there's Paul. Paul's the one that the Lord called out for us Gentiles to be saved and to give us the new covenant and the gospel of the grace of God so that we could be saved, and used Peter to bring it in with Cornelius. And here we are because of this man. But this man said that in his treasure chest, in his heart, that he had a continual sorrow and a heaviness and affection, a yearning for his people to be saved. What people? The Israelites. Racial affection. That's another thing the world's got all screwed up and all messed up and talking about everybody's the same and everybody's the same. That's the craziest thing in the world for anybody to ever, stupidest thing, because number one, it's exactly wrong. It's completely wrong. Everybody is not the same. One of the beautiful things about the Lord is that he made everything different. Everything is different. Not two twins are the same. Nations are not the same. Races are not the same. Every individual in the world has an individual fingerprint. But they're trying to push this lie on us that we all are the same, and we're not. Racial affection. He loved his people. He loved his people. What else does the Bible teach us concerning affections? Well, it can turn not only natural, paternal, maternal, and fraternal, filial affection, national affection, racial affection, but it shows an affection in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 through 33. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Are you listening? And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see how you're washed? By the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Three times in that verse there, he said specifically, love your wives. There's affection toward wives. Husbands toward wives. The Bible teaches about affections in the treasure chest, that a man loves his wife. That a man's affections, a husband's affections, should be as Christ's is toward the church. And love his wife. And there's another one in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5. And that is for the husband. That the wife is to be affectionately in her treasure chest should be her husband. And she should have affections and yearning for her husband. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. A wife's yearning or affection toward her husband. Perhaps some of this affection lesson, yearning lesson, is already affecting us, huh? Wives, husbands. It's good stuff, isn't it? Because it's God's word. What else kind of affections? Natural, paternal, maternal, fraternal, the Bible's shown us in the scriptures, filial. It's shown us national affections and racial affections. It's shown us affections for the wife and affections for the husband. What else? Well, it shows us Christian affections. Romans chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 10... Hang on just a minute. Let me see. I think we read some more of that. Let's begin in verse 4 here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. And so it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. He's talking about the body of Christ, talking about the church, talking about us, the body of Christ. Not the unsaved, the saved. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Oh, the Bible teaches us that we are to abhor evil. Hate it. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Talking about Christian affection. There are things about Christians and born-again people that have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them that ought to be different than the world. Or not ought to be, are different than the world. Talking about your affections and your yearning. Your heart should be different if you're born again. Now, it is possible for a Christian to get back in the mud hole, go back out in the jungle, and just corrupt himself all the way to the point to where you can't tell the difference. But God the Holy Ghost never abandons us and never leaves us. We are sealed with him until the day of redemption. But a Christian can get to the point to where he looks just like the world, smells like the world, behaves like the world, speaks like the world. But that's not the way it should be. Our affections and our yearnings should also be Christian affections toward one another. And in this Laodicean age, and these things that I'm saying are true, but nevertheless, as individuals and us studying the Word of God, I know that you're sincere because you're here. Our affections, the ones that are sincere and mean business with the Lord and want to learn and want to be pleasing unto the Lord and do the things that are pleasing to him and before his sight, are to be according to what we just got through reading, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and talking about for us not to recompense evil for evil and provide things honest in the sight of all men. And for us to not avenge ourselves and to give place to wrath and let the Lord pay back. To have Christian affections. Listen, Christ's love is not the... There's two different kinds. There's different kinds of love. There's worldly love, and then there's Christ's love. Christ's love is completely different than the world's kind of love. Christ's love is sacrificial love. It's suffering kind of love. It's sacrificial. It's Christian love. Now, I know there's a lot of things that are called Christian nowadays, but we don't follow that. We follow the ones that started in Antioch. Right? Christian affections, the Bible teaches that there are. And then one other, there's affections that are called heavenly affections. Yearning for heaven. And that should be in your heart and in your treasure chest. Heavenly affections. Where's that written? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen to this. Set your affection on things above. So the Bible teaches us right there in them six words, set your affection on things above, that you are able to control your affections and to set what affections you're going to be affected by. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That's a commandment. It's not a preference. The Lord said, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't have this garbage in your treasure chest down here. This stuff's going to rot. God's going to burn it. And it's not ever going to be around anymore. Most time you're going to have it's a few years. And you're going to sacrifice that much time of your heart and your affections on garbage. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also with him in glory. So, did you know that there was that many affections in the scripture? And that's not all of them, but a lot of them, huh? So affections cover a wide range of things, a wide area of things, and especially our hearts. So I think we're going to stop right there. That's a good start. Just talking about what kinds of yearnings, what kinds of affections are taught in the Bible. And we see there that there are natural, there are paternal, there are maternal affections, there's fraternal affections, filial affections, national affections, racial affections, affections for your wife, affections for your husband, of the wife, Christian affection, and heavenly affection. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. One more verse. John 6:63. The Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So brothers and sisters, whatever it is that you're affected by right now, and the things that are in your heart and in your treasure chest, some blessing you and some troubling you, the Bible says that it's the Spirit that makes alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that lives, that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. And the Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, what we're studying right now, and that's mostly what we've been doing for almost an hour now, is reading God's Word. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So I admire you for studying God's Word, because you are doing nothing but prospering yourself and helping yourself. And the things that affect us, our affections and our yearnings, if we keep reading God's Word, and like we talked about to begin with, incorporate God's words concerning affections into our lives, things will straighten up. Things will straighten up. Now we're going to go into another part of this study that's going to break it down even more. Now that was just kind of a cover-all kind of thing of what kind of affections are mentioned in the scriptures. But what we're going to do next, on the next one, is we're going to talk about what are some good characteristics of yearnings, of affections. What are some good characteristics of affections or yearnings? And see what the Bible says. And see what God's Word teaches us and what it says. Okay? So that's good stuff. All right. Well, the Lord bless you, and I'll give you those scriptures on the next one, okay, concerning the kinds of yearning. Lots of scripture. Praise the Lord. That's the way it should be. That's a good Bible study. Lots of scripture. And if you already wrote them down, be sure to read over them again and just solidify God's Word in your mind and in your heart. And God the Holy Ghost will put that in there and make it part of your being. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for studying God's Word. It's always good to study with y'all. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.